Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 561. I'm Amy Matheny, and I'm generally not the sporty Amy Matheny, but there's a lot to talk about in sports right now. Of course, the Olympics, and a big story that just came out of, could we possibly have the first openly gay NFL player in a league that has been just bombarded with anti-gay storylines and players and teams going on, having to be on the bench for comments made. It's a really changing time here. And so I am just really excited and fortuitous that we were already going to talk about the Olympics, but now we get to talk about Michael Sam as well, to have the senior sports reporter for Windy City Times, Ross Foreman, my buddy, on the show with me today. Hey, Ross, how are you?
Hey. Great, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm great. You know, this is really exciting, and I'm glad that we had already scheduled to talk about, do some Olympic coverage, but then this story came out about Michael Sam, and I thought, this is great, because, you know, Ross, just like me, I can report on anything, and most of the time it's LGBT, but, you know, I follow stories that are of interest to me. You're a sports writer. You write about sports. You also talk about LGBT stories within sports, but I got to think this is a real banner moment for somebody who writes about sports anywhere, whether you write about LGBT sports or not. This is a big moment, right, Michael Sam?
This is a huge, you know, time right now, and actually coming up to the draft will be huge. There's so many dynamics of it that are interesting. Obviously, you got an awesome player, the yep. best player at his position, in arguably the best conference in the country.
Yeah, and he's defensive, right? So those are like really masculine, tough guys. I mean, not that any football player is not a tough guy, but I mean, those are like, he's on the line.
Exactly, and he's the best out there, and you got that aspect. The timing of it, I think, is really interesting because he's coming out before the draft, and within I think it was the next day after he came out, his stock already dropped.
Mm.
You know, I think he was initially rated as about the 90th best player and dropped to like 160.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really interesting thing because you still have that aspect that there's teams, whether they want to admit it or not, who are like, I'm not sure I really want to have the gay player simply because of what he will bring in addition to on the field. They're worried about the off the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's got Howard Bragman from LA as his publicist, the best in the business for anybody who's coming out,
yep.
bar none. And it's just an interesting strategy and what they all came up with. You know, they initially went to ESPN and New York Times for the coming out story, and I think he's maybe done one or two other interviews. I'm not even sure if he's done one or two other. I think he did. I'm trying to think, maybe like a Good Morning America.
Yeah. I mean, the problem that I heard, which was a great article that I posted on Facebook yesterday, which was from Slate, and I encourage people just to go to slate.com and put in Michael Sam, and you'll see this article where they really talk about how Sports Illustrated really just fucked up this moment. They just screwed it up, you know? And probably I have to think, I would be very curious, because I didn't realize, Ross, that like his stock fell so drastically. But I would be really interested to see if that happened after the Sports Illustrated article, because it's a very slanted, you know, here you have one of the leading sports magazine, you know, present an article with anonymous sources of second and third tier people within the industry, not top people within the industry. Six or seven, who all said they thought it would hurt him, and why, you know, and it was all negative. Not one person said, wow, this is a courageous moment. This is a moment where somebody's saying sports needs to change. None of that, you know, there was no sportsmanlike aspect, I thought, to this article. And also just journalistically, it was shoddy, because to have unnamed sources for something like this, and people be able to hide behind those statements. I'd be really, really curious to see if his stock fell after that came out, because I do think that Sports Illustrated is the good old boys, you know, source. Even, you know, ESPN too, but New York Times isn't. Nobody's reading the New York Times, you know. I mean, they are, but I just mean for sports, it's Sports Illustrated, ESPN. Those are the two guys.
Right. It was Sports Illustrated, the traditional one. It's, you know, it is the publication, and you know, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of things in the story that just make you scratch your head.
Yeah.
But you know,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, I also saw a commentator, a news commentator out of Dallas. Another thing worth.
Oh yeah, that was absolutely. His Dale Hansen. I think he was the NBC in Dallas.
In Dallas,
his monologue, for lack of a better
It's kind of like one of those commentator, you know, he made like a
commentary
at the end. Yeah,
was absolutely awesome. If you have not heard it, you gotta Google it. Here's a straight married, as he described himself on Ellen, an old fat white guy, from Texas, 100% supporting Michael Sam.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just interesting. Like, his analogy was where something along the lines where he said, I can't really understand him, but that doesn't mean I should, you know, not support him.
Right.
And you know, it was absolutely incredible. It was maybe a 3-minute, give or take, commentary.
Yeah.
That if you have not heard, you have to Google it. And from there, you should probably look at Ellen, because she had Dale and his wife on the show. Uh-huh. I think it was Thursday this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's really phenomenal, because what he says in his commentary is like, hey, we're okay with players who get off on charges of rape, who have charges of theft and burglary, who leave their wives or cheat on their wives and cheat on their families. We're okay with so many other things that we turn a blind eye to because they are star football players. And he said, so we'll have all these murder charges. I mean, he's like, you know, we will put up with anything because there are heroes and there are star players, but we won't put up with one of them being gay, with loving another man. And I just thought was profound. I was like, good for you for calling it exactly what it is.
John Stewart did kind of the same thing in his, you know, kind of humor type thing, making, you know, light that the NFL has accepted a guy who's been charged with murder, a guy, you know, Michael Vick, who did the anti-cruelty to dogs and, you know, went to jail, and everybody else who has all these other demons in their closet, no pun intended, is a, you know, accepted and okay in the NFL, yet a guy who's gay might not be.
I mean, I don't want a murderer in the locker room with me. You know, I don't want people who rape people in a locker room with me. I mean, I don't want somebody who beats a dog. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I feel like there are so many other things that if that is scary to you or, you know, somehow compounds the kind of game you're about to go out and play. I mean, what is sportsmanlike about any of the things we turn a blind eye to with these players? So I don't know. He's a brave, courageous man. I just kind of say shame on Sports Illustrated because you missed a story to me of like sportsmanlike behavior, of real code and real creed of saying, this is who I am. And I just want to say this publicly before I have to hide or people, you know, want to treat me differently as a professional athlete.
You know, one thing that does kind of, you know, just kind of maybe, you know, makes me curious. Was that type of story the direction that Sports Illustrated went simply because they didn't get the scoop on it?
Well, and then we know the politics of all that. But I think they actually asked for the scoop on it, and I think that maybe they weren't given it. I think they did ask for it and weren't given the scoop. I think they heard about it and came to them. But that is hearsay from what my mangled brain thinks I read. But so I may be wrong on that.
It's a huge time, and I mean, you know, I obviously we have no idea what's going to end up. I mean, he'd be perfect in Chicago. I think he'd be an awesome player in Chicago. I think Chicago, the media would accept him.
Yes,
the fans would accept him.
Yes,
there's a few cities that would be, you know, a few teams in essence that would be great for him. I think Chicago is perfect. You know, if the Bears had a chance to get him, I think he'd be a blessing for the Bears.
Yeah. Well, let's put that out in the universe, Ross. So when's the draft? When will we know?
That's in April.
Okay. So.
So we got a couple months and see what's up there, and it'll be interesting. You know, I think you know, we talk about the ramifications. I mean, honestly, you know, I don't know if it's a fair assessment, but I think it's on par with Jackie Robinson, when he breaks that barrier back in 47, this is the same type impact.
I agree. I think it's a huge moment. And you know, look, stock will rise and fall, and let's see where he is, where he lands in April, because I think a lot of people are talking about this story. I think a lot of people are not happy with that Sports Illustrated article, and I think there are more commentators. I think there's what has happened is there is a now national dialogue happening between old white men that even that commentator in Dallas is throwing down the gauntlet saying, you know what, let's really look at this and what is happening here and what its impact is or isn't and what we have been willing to put up with and look at about the game. You know, I mean, you have players leaving the game now saying, I don't want to play in this type of where this game has gone. So I think it's really, really interesting that the old boys are going to have to look at time is changing and the game is going to change.
It's going to have a huge impact, you know, way beyond, you know, what happens. Because you think about it, if his stock really drops and, you know, if they thought he was a third rounder, and let's say he doesn't go to the seventh round or eighth round, or, you know, if it's, I cannot imagine that he doesn't get drafted. That would be the craziest thing out there.
Yeah.
If it does drop, how is that going to impact somebody else who might want to come out? If he doesn't get endorsed with deals.
You mentioned Ellen DeGeneres, and somebody always has to be the Rosa Parks. Somebody always has to be the Ellen DeGeneres. Somebody always has to be the Jackie Robinson, the first person out there doing something. And he is the first. He is the first, and he's not doing it while he's already in the NFL. He's doing it. This is important, the impact of him doing it before the draft. He's exposing America in doing it before the draft. If he did it after the draft, he's exposing just himself. But he's exposing America and he's exposing the game and he is forcing the conversation by doing it before the draft. And it seems like this kid is willing to do
that. To him as a character, I think. Amy, I think it speaks so much to him as a person.
Yes.
The fact that he's willing and does come out now as opposed to wait till May, June, July, you know, when he's drafted on a team. He's got a contract or whatever at that point, and say, oh, by the way, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm gay.
Yeah. I mean, it's different than even an Olympic athlete coming out before the Olympics because they've already made it to the Olympics, right? You know, it's not based on any subjective. It is only based on their time, on their talent, on their skill level. So this is an important one, and I think what he's done is kind of ripped the clothes off the NFL. He has really created a very transparent moment for us in this sport. And I mean, he has been courageous enough to do that. And I think it's really, I think it's something. And I'm going to be really excited to see if the GLBT community and people who don't want to stand on the side of bigotry, which I think will be many, many, many of our allies, will continue to keep this story loud and proud and shine a light on what the real story is here, which is the courage of this man and this athlete to say, where are we and what are you saying, you know, about not wanting there to be a gay person in team sports and in the NFL. So this is an important moment. We have so many other important moments that have been happening around the world and for countries around the world and athletes. And Ross is going to be with me here right after we come back from the news and theater. We're going to talk all about what's happening in Sochi and about these Olympic Games. So stay with us.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Michael Pham, an All-American defensive lineman from Missouri Tigers and the Associated Press's SEC Defensive Player of the Year, said that he is gay in interviews with ESPN's Outside the Lines and New York Times on February 9th. Pham is eligible for the NFL draft in May. Assuming that he is drafted, Pham could become the first openly gay player in the history of the NFL.
Barney's New York has become the first major retailer to launch a campaign exclusively featuring the lives and stories of diverse transgender models and their families. Brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters was shot by renowned fashion photographer-filmmaker Bruce Weber.
A federal judge in Norfolk, Virginia struck down the state's ban on same-sex couples marrying, but stayed the execution of her order that had stopped enforcing the law, pending appeal to the Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals. The case, Bostick v. Virginia, was argued by Ted Olson, David Boies, and a team supported by the American Foundation for Equal Rights, which pressed the successful challenge against California's statewide ban, Proposition 8.
Maryland lawmakers recently held a hearing on a bill that would ban anti-transgender discrimination in the state. Members of the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee heard testimony from supporters and opponents of Senate Bill 212.
California cannot ban gay conversion therapy until the U.S. Supreme Court says whether it will look at the law, the Ninth Circuit Court ruled. California's SB 1172 bans state-licensed psychiatrists, psychologists, and counselors from using the so-called ex-gay therapy on patients younger than 18. Counselors, psychiatrists, and their parents filed two cases against Governor Jerry Brown over the ban, which they challenge as a violation of their free speech rights.
Gay Virginia State Senator Adam Eben officially tossed his hat in the ring as a candidate for the Northern Virginia U.S. House seat. Eben joined seven other declared candidates running in the June 10th Democratic primary. The district includes parts of Arlington, Alexandria, Falls Church, and Fairfax County.
A North Carolina boy attempted suicide after being repeatedly bullied over his love of My Little Pony. Michael Morones, 11, was found hanging from his bunk bed after he finally cracked under the pressure of his preteen tormentors at school. Morones has been hospitalized at an area children's hospital. Doctors have said that he may have permanent brain damage.
Darren P. Gales, a Florida State Circuit judge, appears to be on track to become the nation's first openly gay black man to serve on the federal bench. Obama nominated Gales, a former assistant U.S. attorney, to fill a vacancy on the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida.
Blake Brockington, 17, became the first trans homecoming king in the state of North Carolina and the first out black trans homecoming king ever in the U.S. when he was crowned during a halftime ceremony at East Mecklenburg High School in Charlotte. Brockington is headed to the University of North Carolina, Charlotte in the fall and plans to continue playing rugby and mentoring young trans students.
13 Utah gay rights activists were arrested at the state capitol after staging a sit-in to demand lawmakers hear a bill barring housing and job discrimination based on sexual orientation. They said they would not leave unless the Utah Senate president ensured the bill would get a hearing.
Nevada is withdrawing its support of the state's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. Attorney General Catherine Cortez Masto said Nevada's legal arguments in defense of the voter-approved prohibition are no longer viable.
Pascal Tessier, 17, has become the first openly gay Boy Scout to achieve the youth organization's highest rank, Eagle Scout. He was awarded his Eagle badge in Chevy Chase, Maryland.
In world news, Spain's newly appointed cardinal to Rome has insisted homosexuality can be cured with treatment and likened it to other bodily deficiencies, such as high blood pressure. The comments by 84-year-old Fernando Sebastián Aguilar provoked an immediate backlash in Spain. Pope Francis has struck a more conciliatory tone to the traditional Vatican doctrine on homosexuality since taking up the papacy last March.
On the eve of Vladimir Putin's Winter Olympic Games in Sochi, web giant Google showed its support for LGBT people with an Olympics rainbow doodle. The doodle was featured on Google's Russian site as well, and in anti-gay countries such as Uganda, Nigeria, Jamaica, Cameroon, and Iran.
Dutch speed skater Irene Wüst became the first openly LGBT athlete to win a medal at the Sochi Olympic Games, taking gold in the 3,000-meter race. The 27-year-old Wüst also won gold in Vancouver and Turin.
For the first time, England's women's soccer captain, Casey Stoney, has publicly spoken about being a lesbian. Stoney, 31, said she decided to come out after the positive reaction to diver and countryman Tom Daley, saying he was in a relationship with a man, and because of the loving relationship she is in. Stoney, who has captained Great Britain in the London Olympics, said a huge weight had been lifted from her shoulders.
In a landmark Turkish case, a man who murdered his son because he was gay has been convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to life in prison. The case that lasted nearly 2 years ended when a criminal court for aggravated crimes convicted Metin Sicek and two uncles for the murder of Rosin Sicek, age 17.
A Namibian opposition leader who openly backs LGBTI rights was sworn in as a member of the country's parliament. Vinayini came out for gay and trans rights in an interview with Gay Star News.
And in entertainment news, Elton John's Rocket Pictures has procured the film rights to Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat by Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice. Rocket plans to team with the Webber's Really Useful group to produce an animated feature from the show.
Oprah Winfrey may make her Broadway acting debut in the revival of Night Mother, starring opposite Tony winner Audra McDonald in a new production directed by George C. Wolfe. Marsha Norman's Pulitzer Prize-winning drama about a woman trying to persuade her daughter not to commit suicide premiered in 1983, earning 4 Tony nominations.
Cheyenne Jackson is engaged to marry fellow thespian Jason Landau 6 months after ending his 13-year relationship with husband Monty Lapka. This will be Jackson's second marriage. He and Lapka married in September 2011 after 11 years together.
CNN has canceled AC360 Later, Anderson Cooper's 10 p.m. panel discussion show. It's the newsman's second cancellation in the last year following the yanking of his syndicated talk show. His other show, AC360, remains on the schedule.
Cyndi Lauper will celebrate the anniversary of her record-setting debut album with She's So Unusual, a 30th anniversary celebration, which will be released on April 1st. The 2-CD deluxe edition will feature the original album, rare demos, live concert recordings, as well as remixes. It will be available as a solo CD as well and as a 1-LP vinyl. And Lauper will join Cher on 36 dates of her upcoming Dress to Kill tour.
Neil Patrick Harris, dressed in a wig, lingerie, and red heels, took the stage at Harvard University to accept the 2014 Man of the Year Award from the country's oldest undergraduate drama troupe. The openly gay Harris cast a few spells and sang a jingle from Rent before being awarded the Hasty Pudding Theatrical's annual pudding pot.
Channing Tatum is getting the work on Magic Mike 2, the upcoming sequel to the hit 2012 movie in which he starred as an exotic dancer. Tatum is writing the script and may direct the film.
Chicago Fire star Monica Raymond confirmed she is bisexual when she tweeted about a Norwegian artist's protest against Russia's gay propaganda law. The actress wrote, "So proud to be bi and excited about this movement during the Olympics." Raymond garnered a lesbian following as the attorney who flirted with Kalinda on The Good Wife before playing strong paramedic Gabriella Dawson on NBC's Chicago Fire.
And Hugh Jackman will host the 68th Annual Tony Awards for the fourth time. Jackman, a Tony winner for The Boy from Oz, takes over from Neil Patrick Harris, who hosted the past three shows. The Tonys will be broadcast live on CBS June 8th. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Cheyenne Jackson, and you're on the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater. Music. Dance. Art. Performance. Provocative. Hilarious. Exciting. Queer. Innovative. Campy. Edgy. Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 17th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
The 25th anniversary season of Profiles Theater presents Cock by Mike Bartlett, playing now through April 6th. In this tense comedy about sexual identity, Cock explores one man's choices about which path of love to pursue. The New York Times insists Cock is a feisty, hypnotic, and oddly energizing exercise in emotional carnage. For tickets to Cock, visit profilestheater.org.
The Joffrey Ballet presents Contemporary Choreographers, featuring three Joffrey premieres, Crossing Ashland by Chicago native Brock Clawson, Continuum by internationally acclaimed choreographer Christopher Wheeldon, and the return of Episode 31 by Alexander Ekman, which the Chicago Sun-Times calls astonishing, sensational, and out of this world, at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University now through the 23rd. For tickets, visit joffrey.org.
Everything's coming up roses at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Director Gary Griffin's must-see production of Gypsy has been declared one of the most anticipated entertainment highlights of 2014 by the Sun-Times. Don't miss this jewel of American musical theater, playing now through March 23rd. For tickets, visit chicagoshakes.com.
Hedda Gabler at Writers Theater is hugely compelling and thrillingly intimate, according to the Chicago Tribune. And the Chicago Sun-Times calls Hedda Gabler a lip-smackingly delicious, tabloid-worthy show, awash in sex and power games and self-destruction. Hedda Gabler is playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown on the Eaton's or the Metra. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org.
Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater returns to its home in Chicago at the Auditorium Theater for 10 extraordinary performances, February 28th through March 9th. For tickets to Alvin Ailey at the Auditorium, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Join Porchlight Music Theater as they transport you back to the Harlem Renaissance and the golden age of jazz in the Tony Award-winning musical review, Ain't Misbehavin', now playing through March 9th at Stage 773 in Chicago. The incredible cast and live jazz band bring to life 30 hits of the legendary Fats Waller, including Honeysuckle Rose, Black and Blue, and of course, Ain't Misbehavin'. For tickets, go to porchlightmusictheater.org, playing now, only through March 9th, and only at Stage 773. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
You'll remember me when the west wind moves among the fields of barley. You can tell sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. So she took her love for to gaze a while among the fields of barley. In his arms she fell as her hair came down.
So, Ross, looking now across the oceans and heading over to Russia, obviously last week's show, Tracy and I talked about the climate and the LGBT story of these Olympics. But let's just talk about the sports of these Olympics. And so I'm really happy to have you on the show to do that. What have been the top stories so far for you, Ross, that are coming out of these Olympic Games?
I guess the thing that always baffles me on the Winter Olympics is how crazy, absolutely crazy, some of these events are. I mean, we always think about the luge and the bobsled, and you're going 90 miles an hour on this sled or headfirst down some crazy thing. What is this? What is it called? Sled scope, ski scope? I don't know. They do some type of skiing, and they're skiing backwards.
Wow. I mean, even the snowboarding and stuff like that, all those flips. I mean, these really are some scary sports, the winter sports, to me.
I look at the moguls, and my knees are hurting just watching them do that.
Right.
It's amazing how they can do it. It speaks incredible to how good of athletes these people are to do what they do. I mean, I'm like, how did he just do that?
Yeah.
How did she just do that?
Yeah. It's kind of unfathomable, honestly, what they're doing to me. I sometimes when we get real nitpicky of like, oh, you weren't as good as that other guy who just went down the slope. And you're like, can you even imagine what the worst thing means, right? You know?
Amy, I always laugh at that because it's like you and I will watch something and you're like, that was awesome. That was incredible. And then they give them like a 9.4. I'm like, how is that not a 10 or whatever the ratings are?
Right.
It's like, what do they see that's just a millisecond off or something that was wrong or,
So tell me what your top stories have been so far.
For me, certainly the ice hockey is great. I love watching both the guys and the girls. The U.S. and Canada is building up for hopefully a rematch for the women's final. Canada took the, kind of like the round robin game last week, 3-2, questionable goal. Ultimately, it really didn't make a huge impact. Mm-hmm. I think it was more a morale boost for Canada because U.S. had won a few times against them in a row.
Right.
But I'm looking forward. I already got my calendar marked for Thursday the 20th. I think it's 11:00 our time. That's the gold medal game for the U.S. women. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be U.S. Canada. You watch that. If they didn't have ponytails, you would never know. There is no checking, in a women's game of ice hockey. But if they didn't have a ponytail, you'd never know that that was women. Those guys, I was about to say those guys because that's just the expression. But those guys are so incredible. That team, they are so talented and skilled. And of all things, I really hope the U.S. women's hockey team brings home the gold. Of course, we certainly hope the U.S. men bring home the gold as well. You get so many of the, Patrick Kane from the Blackhawks. I think there are nine Blackhawks overall playing in these games.
I mean, Chicago's just such a hockey town for guys and for girls, I mean, there's just so many Olympians who, whether they even play for a Chicago team, cut their teeth somewhere here in Illinois or Michigan or Wisconsin, right here in the Midwest. Don't you think?
Well, we got two of the U.S. women from here in Illinois. We have Kendall Coyne and Megan Bozek, both on the U.S. Women's team from Illinois. Megan, first three games, had three assists. She was on the ice for both goals against Canada. Mm-hmm. And, Kendall's one of the longtime stars. And it goes back to the history in Illinois women's hockey, going back to Cammy Granato. Mm-hmm. Years ago. So, I mean, we certainly have a great history in Illinois. Eddie Olczyk is over there broadcasting. He's, such great tradition with the Blackhawks. He's now a Blackhawk announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's announced the games for NBC. So Illinois has a great thing. And I will also say another one of my huge highlights, which some people might find strange, has Illinois ties, is Jason Brown.
Hmm.
If you've not seen him is a figure skater, so entertaining.
Yeah.
And I'll admit, I'm not really a figure skating fan.
Yep.
Yet in January, he had his, at the U.S. Championships in Boston, he had his performance that actually qualified him for the Olympics was about a seven, almost 8 minute performance. It's already hit almost 4 million hits on YouTube. It's awesome. He is so entertaining. I mean, there's such life to him, and he's so, smiling, and you could just see the energy in him. He feeds off the crowd. It is awesome to watch Jason Brown. I know he already had one medal in the teams event, and literally as we're talking, he's in contention for a bronze in the other figure skating. But yeah, he's from Highland Park, and I think he's one who we could be talking about for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely it seems for many people that all of the ice skating, the ice dancing, now the team competition with skating, and of course the individual skates, it takes up a lot of airtime, you know, for the Olympics. It definitely seems like though the youth generation and the snowboarding generation is really lifting too, with America getting some medals in snowboarding, and losing some medals in snowboarding. I think they thought they were going to get.
No, without a doubt, that's a fun one. U.S. swept the medal in, one of the snowboarding events, and you know all the crazy flips and you know boards and off the ramps. It's so exciting to watch that stuff. I still go shake my head. How do they do that?
Yeah,
it absolutely baffles me how they do some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, where are we poised to pick up some more medals? Do you know?
Well, I mean, certainly in the hockey, and then I think there'll be at least two medals there, whether it be, you know, gold or silver. But, you know, the men have it. It's a tough challenge. I mean, there's 16 teams in the men's event, and, you know, certainly U.S., Canada, you know, Sweden are probably the top three favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's good teams all around. There's, you know, NHL players on almost all teams, so there's a lot of challengers. But, you know, some of the downhill skiing events, certainly U.S. can grab some more medals in those. So, you know, I don't think that I don't think Norway's going to ultimately win the medal total tally over the U.S. But, you know, stranger things have happened.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to be, have we had that moment yet? You know, have we had that moment of, you know, that Olympic moment yet? I know that we had, you know, very early on snowboarding had some cool medals. We didn't think that the U.S. was maybe going to get with Jamie Anderson and Sage. But do we have any, do you think this skating moment is a moment that we're seeing something? Are we having our Gabby Douglas or, I don't know, that moment that we think is really going to be this Olympic moment? And maybe it's not even going to come from the U.S., some other moment of just sportsmanship and surprise.
I don't really think we've had that yet. There have been two moments that stand out to me most as far as sportsmanship. Ironically, both fall off Canada. There was the Canadian skier who, great images of him online. You can certainly Google them. After he won the gold, he went over and, you know, I wish I remember. He dedicated it to his brother who's, I believe he's autistic or something. And I don't remember the exact story on him. But the great images, you see him climbing into the crowd, pulling the brother over the barrier to celebrate with his brother. Just a truly touching moment.
Yeah.
Another one was in a downhill event. A Russian athlete wiped out, for lack of a better term, and broke his ski.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to continue, and then it just broke even more. And again, you can Google it. It's a great image. You see this guy run out there. Not only bring him another ski, change the guy's ski, and then the guy continues. You know, he finished the event. Time was, you know, nothing. He gets a standing ovation, and it was because of a Canadian coach who ran out there to give him a ski.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, both those two stories, as of now, are my two favorite Olympic stories, because that speaks to what, you know, what the Olympics are about. They're about sportsmanship.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, it's like, it's interesting that the people who I think have so much on them, you know, whether it's the Sean White or the Bodie Miller or whomever, you know, there's so much on them to you know, every Olympics be the best or whatever. But it's beautiful when there are these other moments that remind us that there are other stars, you know, in the sport, and there are other people who, you know, that we're always surpassing, we're always progressing, we're always getting better. You know, it's so interesting to see, you know, in some of these areas where there are tricks that now they're doing tricks that the guys who won the gold medal, you know, two Olympics ago would never have placed, right? I mean, with the tricks that are being done. And so it really just shows how the sports continue to grow. They are a living, breathing thing. And it's the natural evolution for these new young, you know, competitors to, you know, to take their moment in the sun and have their moment in the sun. So there's still many more games to play. So we'll still look to see if those big moments come out. What is the thing you're most excited about watching besides this hockey match between the U.S. and Canada?
Before I answer that, you know, the thing you mentioned earlier, am I the only one who just, I look at Shaun White, I'm like, is that the same guy? Without the hair, I'm like,
He's growing up, though. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Here's the reality, Ross. These kids are like half years in my age. I mean, they're kids, you know? Most of the athletes at the Olympics are kids. They are young, teenage, and early 20-something athletes. They're young. I mean, and I think we sometimes forget that. They somehow age a decade and immaturity and everything else, you know, just because we're watching them on this world stage. But they're children, really. I mean, they're so young, you know. It's pretty baffling. So I just think Shaun White's grown up, you know.
Yeah, no, that's true. I just had to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Two of the other things that I loved watching, J.R. Selsky in that short track speed skating, although I do wish that Blake from New Zealand, I wish he had qualified. He was he was the 33rd best in the qualification. They only took the top 32. He would have been the only out male overall, not just in his event, but overall male in these winter games. But the short track speed skating is amazing. I mean, it's just how they do that, and don't. I did see one guy wipe out, and it's just, you know, it's obviously sad to see, but it's such precision. It's so amazing to watch that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shani Davis. I know he's a, you know, he's an amazing athlete as well. So enjoyable to watch him do his things. But you know, I actually will have to say that I'm so excited to see how Jason Brown does,
because yeah.
That would, if you had asked me, you know, a month ago, hey, are you looking forward to figure skating?
Yeah.
I probably would have told you I don't know a figure skater from the U.S., but Jason Brown is so entertaining to watch, and you can just feel the enthusiasm watching him perform. So I certainly hope he brings home, you know, an individual medal.
Well, and it's definitely a big story for them in Russia that Plushenko has dropped out of the short program and dropped out on Thursday. And, you know, because he's an older guy. That's what we say. Like, you know, he's like 30 and he's like an old guy, you know? So it's really interesting. And I know that Russia on their own turf, you know, I mean, he is a definite favorite in one of the sporting events that is, you know, the gymnastics, right, of the Winter Games, the thing that everybody's kind of watching and feels like you don't have to understand it a ton to watch it, I guess, maybe. It's the most, you know, artistic and expressive to many people to watch the ice skating. So that was a big moment that, you know, I heard one person say that the stadium, like, became like half full, like right after he pulled from the competition. So, but I think that there are new stars then to come out of this men's competition and men's skating. So, maybe Jason can be one of those. And I hope so. I hope so. That would be.
I was watching when he went out to tell the judges, that he was not going to, you know, compete. And it was, you know, again, I knew who he was and you knew his history and his tradition. And it's like, wow, that's history right there. Just him going out and saying, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm 31. I can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I understand that so many people, you know, get that. So many of those Olympians and so many of those athletes get it. And the fact that he came back for this Games and he helped the Russian team win, you know, with his performance. So, you know, he definitely contributed to the medals for them and contributed to his home country. So, well, Ross, we will continue to watch this story, the Olympics unfold in the next week till the closing ceremonies, see where we end up.
You didn't tell me, Amy. What's your favorite event?
You know, I was fascinated the other day watching curling. But
how is that a sport? That's not a sport.
I know, but it was fascinating to me. I was like, how did somebody come up with this? And a 10-year-old standing next to me looked at me and said, "It's physics." And I was like, oh my God, that's hilarious that this 10-year-old knows that. So I'm probably the most mainstream, but I really enjoyed the snowboarding. I really am enjoying the ice skating. I don't watch a lot of hockey, but that's probably because I grew up in Tennessee and we didn't have hockey. And so it's not in my blood yet, even though I've lived in Chicago a while. And, you know, I mean, I just find it all so amazing. I really just... as I said, I'm in awe by how we become numb to the fact that what they're doing is not so extraordinary and unfathomable that we actually think, oh, that was a pretty good performance. Oh, he didn't do so well. And his so not well is so extraordinary. I can't even imagine. So I'm blown away by it all. And just blown away mostly when I can look at them and somehow now see how young they are, you know, see what a moment this is in their young lives and how proud they all seem to be for each other. I kind of love what you said about the coach who came out and brought the ski, because what I didn't always love about the skiing is anything that's down a hill, right? The person who just went down the hill, it doesn't matter what country they're from. They're still there catching their breath. They watch the next person come down and there always seems to be an exchange, you know, and for them, I think snowboarders love snowboarders and skiers love skiers, you know, and they're all usually on the same hill and they've come down on the same hill and there's a camaraderie. And I enjoy that more than anything. I really enjoy people, you know, I enjoy the sportsman aspect of the whole thing and just how exciting somebody can be for somebody who has an awesome run down a hill, you know, that's pretty cool to me. That's pretty cool.
No, I agree. I love watching, you know, in the opening ceremony, I love watching the countries that have one person,
yeah,
two athletes, three athletes, because you know that realistically, they're not going to medal. And, you know, when we watch it on NBC in prime time, there's zero chance you're going to see that, you know, person from Bermuda or wherever, you know, I don't know, you know, some kind of obscure winter Olympic sport country. And yet, you think about it, they are the best in their country.
Right.
And, you know, they could be the 30th best in the world. They're still incredible, yet
that's
they're
right.
Nowhere near, you know, a Jason Brown or whoever from a, you know, a top-tier perspective.
Yeah.
But they are still incredible athletes, which I love the aspect of that.
Right. I do, too. It's really pretty awesome. Pretty, pretty awesome. Well, everybody, enjoy the rest of these Olympic Games. We will continue to watch this story unfold with Michael Sam. Maybe we'll have Ross back on after the draft pick. And just to follow up on that story. And I hope everybody has a great week. Thanks a lot for being on with me, Ross.
You got it, Amy. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.